All right, we're going to talk a little bit about the goodness of God, about vision. And first of all, let's just open in prayer. Father, we thank you for your great goodness. Father, today, Lord, my heart is full of just thinking about how great you are and how wonderful you are. Oh, let's just lift our hands a minute and just praise him. Lord, we thank you that you're great. You're good. You're kind. You're generous. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We're going to start and end just a short little message about the goodness of God and what he's doing here in our midst. Start and end with the goodness. Okay, first of all, Psalm 23 says that goodness is pursuing you. It says that surely only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live. So we know that, you know, God, we often think, oh, is anything ever good going to happen for me? Well, this verse says here that if you love the Lord, goodness is pursuing you. Just see goodness chasing after you. Ah, I got to catch up, got to catch up, got to catch up. You know, goodness is after you. You got that? Goodness is after you. Okay, you just take a second and receive it. Stop and let goodness catch up. Okay, thank you, Lord. I'm going to stop 1 second and let that goodness catch up with me. All right, good. Here we go. All right, he is the high priest that we've been confessing. He's the high priest of good things to come. He will surprise you with the blessings of goodness. Psalm 21:3. There's another translation that says, you have given him his heart's desire and have not denied the request of his lips. For you meet him with rich blessings. That's goodness, isn't it? You place a crown of pure gold on his head. All right. So now we have gotten words this year, special words from the Lord, and we did last year as well. And it seems like God's always given, you know, a word to the body of Christ. Mark often has a word for us as well. So these dreams are, those words are given to us so they can come to pass. Okay, they're not given to us just so that we can go, oh, that was a nice word. I wonder why that didn't happen for me. You know, like in the year 2013, it was the unprecedented favor word, the unprecedented favor, the year of unprecedented favor. Now, one thing that to remember is when a word is delivered, it doesn't mean it was only good for that year. It's like, you know, when he said, let there be light, that word was given into the world. And then creation just started going and going and going and going and going. So when God gives us the word of unprecedented favor, that word is delivered so it can keep going and going and going. So if you felt like you didn't quite get, you know, enough favor in the year 2013, well, that wasn't the end. It's going. It's been released, okay? Right. Okay. Now, this seems still very loud to me, or something's funny. We were given the word by Mark, a year of surprises, that he will give you, surprise you with the blessings of goodness. Psalm 21:3. Okay. That word was given like at the end of the year, December, or the 1st of January. And do we already see this happening? Maybe. Yeah. Look at this. How many people got saved this week? 33? Surprise. Surprise. Okay, so we had no idea that we were going to be working with, in January, we did not have any idea that we were going to be doing what we did this year. So that's super exciting. Surprise. Now, when you get a word like we've gotten, and maybe you have some personal words, Matthew actually mentioned this, take a minute to picture it. Okay, so that at the picture itself, at the end of 2014, having these things come to pass. Okay, a year of surprises, favor, anything else that you've been believing God for. We are believing God for increase in our numbers as a church to 120 this year. Okay, so take the time to picture it. I just want us to take a moment, you know, see yourself, kind of work backwards. Let's see this church full. Let's see all the chairs full. And that's not going to be enough chairs. So ushers, start thinking ahead of time. We're not going to have enough chairs in this place. What are we going to do? Okay, thinking ahead. You know, just kind of thinking ahead. What are we going to do? How are we going to receive people? How are we going to act? How are we going to talk to them? You know, I was encouraging one of the ladies this week. We need, like, every lady to start connecting with ladies. You know, when, I mean, this is true for all of us, you know, men too, but I need all the ladies in this church to start reaching out to ladies. You know, don't just go always to the same person. You know, we need to get into the habit of reaching out and connecting. All right? Call some of the people that we've shared with already. We're going to start an additional follow-up here soon. Okay, so let's see ourselves. Picture. Maybe you got a personal word for this year. Picture it happening by the end of the year. Do you realize that we're almost halfway through 2014? So let's see these things coming to pass. All right, we need to hold on to our dreams and just see them happening. Now, Ecclesiastes says that dreams come to pass through much effort. Okay, so that means we have to work. We have to work. We were at Jerry Savell Ministries this couple weeks ago, and one of the board members was talking to Mark, and he's a former Marine. And Mark was sharing about all the outreach and all that's been going on. And he said, good, it's good for your people to work. So it is time to work. It's good for you to work. So, you know, Ecclesiastes 5, 3 and 4, for a dream comes with much business. And so it does take a lot of work for a dream to come to pass. And we just have to realize you can't just say, oh, this is going to happen and not do any work. It comes about through much work or much business. Then Ecclesiastes goes on to say, and a fool's voice with many words. When you vow a vow to God, do not delay paying it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you vow. So in other words, don't just be a big talker. It's really important that we put, you know, our money where our mouth is. You know, just put our feet behind our words. So we've got to not just be big talkers. We sometimes we say here, it's better to under-promise and over-deliver. You know, not to say, oh, all this stuff is going to happen and then this much happens, you know. It's better to under-promise and then work, hard, pray, and then over-deliver. But it comes with much labor. So we're in a time right now where we just got to work hard, okay? It takes physical, mental, and spiritual energy. The REACH event took physical, it took mental, and it took spiritual energy. Some of, you know, we lost sleep over it. You know, we worked so hard, we were just exhausted. It took so much work. Souls from our dream, our vision, souls from every nation comes with much labor. You know, hour upon hour upon hour. You know, I believe that a lot of what we're seeing is the labor of decades. This is the labor of decades, church, that all the prayer, what we've been reaping now, I believe it's not just an overnight thing. I believe it's been a labor for decades of faithful labor of prayer that Mark has led us in and that we've prayed over. People are ready, but think of all the years of prayer that has gone into this. It's very exciting. So now my next question is, are you willing to invest the effort? Are you willing? Scripture says that my people are willing in the day of his power. Well, this is the day of his power. So now the question is, are you willing? Are you willing to work? Here's some characteristics of a dreamer whose dreams come true. Now, this is all dreams coming true. This is the dream of Jesus. First of all, this is the dream of Jesus, souls from every nation. Then it's our dream, the things God's put in our hearts to believe for as a church and individually. So let's just see a few characteristics of a dreamer whose dreams come true. Now, I would call this a spirit of excellence. A dreamer who has his dreams come true and is a person of excellence, like Joseph was. Okay, here's some things, characteristics. There's another spirit upon a Christian who is got that excellence in them. There's a different mindset than the average Christian. There's a single-mindedness. There's focus. And there's loyalty. And there is loyalty to the dream. You know, can I be loyal to a dream? Yes. If God's birthed a dream in your heart, by all means, be loyal to the dream. And don't move to the right or to the left. Stay on top of that dream. Stay focused. You know, we heard Dr. Savelle say, you know, that there was a 40-year dream he had that just came to pass. I think I shared this already with that million-dollar check. You know, they were believing God for a million-dollar check. It took 40 years in the making from the time he first started to believe for it. And, you know, that if you know the Savelles, you know that they you know, we've seen how they and how they just sow, they give. They've got people all over the world ministering the gospel. They're, you know, the money goes, lots of money going to orphanages and feeding widows. And, you know, so it's not just that they wanted a $1 million check.
No.
You know, I just want to kind of cover that. All right. God has a reservoir of his goodness. So that reservoir has been laid up for us. Now, so there's a whole reservoir yet to be tapped into. Now, God's doing it right now, okay? It's on reserve for a time such as this. You know how God has stored up wisdom? He's stored up goodness. Oh my, goodness, goodness, goodness is just being poured out. And you know, when you're ministering to people and you just, the goodness of God, don't you know when you're just sharing the gospel, don't you feel that goodness of God just rise up?
Amen.
Oh, you do. You know, I was at the Reach on Monday. There were two gals there that spoke Spanish, and I couldn't tell how much English they spoke. Well, one did speak some. The other spoke zero. And I'm like, Izzy, can you help me out? And Izzy said something like, my parents speak Spanish, but I don't know what you said, but it sounded like, I don't know what you said, but because I don't speak Spanish. But anyway, it's showing us the need. We need to learn how to speak Spanish. Some of us, you know. But anyway, so it was very exciting because first of all, the first lady, I asked her the questions and prayed with her. I mean, she was already a Christian, and it was clear. But her friend, who was kind of standing in the background, the one who didn't speak any English, we brought her forward, and just by reading the script, and she really read it to herself, her friend said something to her in Spanish. Then we flipped the script over. She read the script out loud and got saved. The Spanish, yeah. And, you know, so really there wasn't much to do. It's like that tomato, boom. Here, read this. It was so wonderful. And her countenance completely changed. She just lit up like a Christmas tree. Because God, she got saved. It was so exciting. But, you know, don't you feel the goodness of God when you're sharing with somebody? It just kind of rises up within you. So we're tapping into that goodness that's been on reserve for such a time as this, and is being outpoured because God wants the fame of himself spread throughout the world. And when people see the goodness of God, they see it in your life, they see the provision, they see God's goodness on you, the healing, well, that makes them, you know, want it. So it's being poured out, and his fame is being spread throughout the land. So let's just thank God right now. Thank you, Lord, for your supernatural goodness. Thank you, Lord, that your fame is being spread. Lord, we just thank you for supernatural manifestation of your goodness flowing through us, Lord, flowing into our families, Lord, your goodness flowing into our finances. Father, I thank you. You've got a reservoir right now. Lord, we tap into that reservoir of your goodness right now. And we just love you, Lord. We thank you that we're going deeper into the goodness of God. Thank you, Lord. I would like to say that we've entered into a new room.
Yes, we've entered into a new room.
How many of you sense that we're in a new season?
A new season.
You know, I'm like Mark was saying, you know, don't look at the numbers here today. Because there has been a shift in the spirit. There's been a definite shift. And we don't have to go by sight right today, but we have definitely are in a new room. We're in a new place. This is so exciting. Praise the Lord. Now, Job 8:7 says, our beginning may have been small, but our latter end will greatly increase. And we're not saying anymore our better days are yet to come. We're saying that our better days are already here. Because we're in that new room. We are definitely in that new room. Hi, Josh. I see you're walking okay. Praise the Lord. He was at a rugby game in California. Okay, so just to wrap it up, we're just going to declare that this is my year for the greater, and my better days are here. Okay? So I want us to, there's barriers that have been broken. I mentioned that last week. There, you know, we hung around those barrier breakers. I encourage you to hang around barrier breakers. Hang around people that are full of faith. Hang around people that, you know, they're believing God and things are happening and barriers are being broken. So those barriers are being broken. But now we're going to enter into a greater amount of that goodness. We're in that new room. So we're going to declare this is my year for the greater and my better days are here. So let's do that together. Are you ready? Let's stand up. That's good. That's good. Stand up. This is my year for the greater, and my better days are here. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Woo. All right. We're going to do it again just to get it in our hearts. Is it up on the board? This is my year for the greater, and my better days are here. Okay, here we go. This is my year for the greater, and my better days are here. We receive it. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, you can be seated.
Remember, we need to mix faith with the Word. And I want to encourage you that this is not something that can only be, should only be done on Sunday mornings. This is something, guys, you need to be declaring and speaking and believing for throughout the week. When your body doesn't feel better, you speak the word. When you look at your finances, like I get to pay the bills, you know, in a couple days, you know, like this afternoon or tomorrow, you know what? You don't look at certain things. You declare the word. You speak God's word over the situation. And that's what you just have to do. And so this is our year of the greater. And my better days are here now. They're here now. They're here now. They are here now. Now. Now, now. N-O-W, now. Now. So, well, I don't feel it. Now. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now. Now. You say, well, what if I, now. Listen, at some point you got to stop agreeing with your body. You got to stop agreeing with the finances. You got to stop agreeing with the empty green chairs. See? You have to agree with the word. A couple quick things before I give it to Matthew. 1:30, we'll start at the Colts' house. I'm not sure we'll get to the stuff of the Wagoners, but we'll start at the Colts' house because they've got the biggest stack. And so I could use some help. You know, so it's not, you know, just a couple of us loading. And then we'll meet at Collier Park on the west side. And also you say, well, I'm afraid. I tell you what, Dwayne's testimony was so awesome. It was so awesome. He was sitting back there, trembling and fear, full of fear. And in a week, he's won more people than 2 weeks. You know, it's amazing. It's amazing. So if you're feeling that way now, and I'll tell you how you're feeling that way. Well, I got things to do. You'll start making excuses why you can't come today. This reason, that reason, this, that, boom, that's what Dwayne's talking about. And we're giving you an opportunity. I remember when Riley and Steve were talking about, who was the guy that got saved, the old boy that got saved? Leonard. Well, they got a Leonard, we got a purple. I like that, purple. When you say purple, you know what that means. Word of knowledge, a supernatural gift. Let me just say this in closing for my part. You know, people say, why don't I see miracles? Because you never go anywhere. Oh, God never does any miracles for me. Jesus said they would follow you. You've got to do something. You've got to go somewhere. You've got to act. When you act, God shows up. What you're waiting for is for God to show up, and then you want to go over where he's at. If you go, God will show up. See, that's what how many Christians do this. They find out something hot's happening in town, so everybody runs over there. Well, they don't get any reward for that. They're just following their senses. You guys are going to get the reward because when it's happening here, people will come here and find out what's going on. And you've been here. Okay. The other thing is, if you want to come to the outreach and you're really, I tell you what, come and walk around the park and pray. That's important. Come carry the boxes. That's what Michael was doing. I've done that. Michael was doing it. Finally, he said, I got to lend something to the Lord. And Matthew said, come here, Michael. Yeah. Bang. Let's say so you guys were carrying food. Patty led a couple girls to the Lord. Then Izzy helped, went over to the house. Yeah. He went over to the house, and Izzy led a brother to the Lord. Well, Christina. Christina. I thought he was carrying it, but Christina did. Yeah. I tell you what, if you're afraid, come and let some of these other folks who are just, they caught something that Riley's. It'll change your life. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. So, ushers, real quick, I have some cards on the back table, so you can grab them. They're the evangelism cards. So if you did not get it, it's the one that's basically what I want you to do. Is I just want you to ask the Lord, what is your soul goal for the year? Some of you have already met your soul goal, so you might want to re-up. So just raise your hand and we'll get you one. Actually, everybody should get one. So just pass them out to everybody. Yeah, just pass them out to everybody. And then I want you to write it down. Yeah. Right. Yeah, and, you know, we need to start keeping a tally because I just really feel like not only do we have a goal that the Lord wants us to reach in terms of attendance, but, like, our soul goal could be multiple times what that attendance goal could be for a year because we can do it, you know. So we'll start praying about that. But, yeah, we do want to know. So, guys, write it down. Like, we want to know who you're winning to Jesus. We want to know how many people you've won to Jesus. So make sure you're keeping track of it. Yeah, it says today, but this is for the year. That's what Riley said. So go ahead and write that down. Just ask the Lord what he would put on your heart. That's all you could do, what he puts on your heart. Praise the Lord.
And just so we don't miss the obvious, please invite them to church. If you're you know, if you're sharing at Walmart or with purple-haired ladies or whatever, just make sure you invite them to church because we want them to grow. And God's, they're our portion. They're our fruit. And so give them a business card and invite them to church.
Yeah, so we have business cards on the resource table back there with Jan. And so just like Mom said, we are going to start working on a follow-up system, but you guys are the most effective follow-up system. So connect with them, like right then and there. Get their number, call them, and say, hey, well, I want you to come to church. You know, follow up on them. You know, bring them if you have to. You know, say, I will pick you up. Like, whatever. You guys are the most effective follow-up. And Jesus said, go and make disciples. So there is some, that's like the next thing. They got to be baptized. They got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And they have to come to church. They have to be discipled. Jesus said, make disciples. Make disciples. And if you think about it, that's like picking fruit. We're not asking their permission. If they're saved, they're your responsibility in some level. So we have to make sure that they don't go end up at some New Age church, even if they're saved. Like, we want them to get the Word of God in them. Praise the Lord. Well, let's stand and receive the blessing. Praise the Lord. One last thing there. Yeah, we'll have those today. Yeah, we'll bring those. Yeah, so I'll just tell everybody now. So we want to make sure that we get everybody's contact before we give them the boxes. So don't let them run off without their contact, their name, their phone number, their email address, just because we want to make sure that we can, you know, invite them to church afterwards. Praise the Lord. Well, let's receive the blessing. I'm going to read a couple of verses here. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." And then Jude says, Jude 24, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen."